Well, hi, I'm Brian Houston, and I want to welcome you to this weekly leadership podcast. So glad you've joined me for this because I love speaking into leaders and speaking into their potential. For many, many years now, I've spoken into our leadership and team and staff every single week. And when I have the opportunity, I love to try to build the dynamic in them that helps them to step up into all of their leadership potential. So that's exactly what I want to do here through this podcast. Also, I have a leadership blog, comes out once a month, and I'd love you to have a look at that, BrianCHouston.com. Be blessed, and again, I hope that this stretches and enlarges you. I'm so excited about the potential of this new Live, Love, Lead small group study. It's my prayer that this resource will enable you to be all that God has called you to be. Whether you choose to do it with a friend or an entire classroom of people, I believe that the teachings, the personal stories will radically impact you and your Christian walk. Psalm 3:1 says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I like that. I lay down, I slept, I awoke. I believe for those sorts of nights. I lay down, I slept, I awoke. Amen. For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. I don't know whether you ever feel like praying the way that David prayed in verse 7, but he basically said, Lord, hit them in the face. Smash their teeth in. Anyone else ever prayed like that? Hit them in the face. Lord, you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Hit them in the face. Smash their teeth in. There's a godly prayer for you. Hey, he starts by saying, they increase who trouble me. One thing about leadership is everything in your life is increasing. Everything is increasing. When you face opposition, which obviously David here was facing, and it was coming from his son Absalom and coming from some amongst his own number, and it seemed to be coming from every side, he kept saying, many, many are those who trouble me. Many are those who set themselves against me. The first question to ask yourself always when you face opposition is why. In other words, take accountability, which is the spirit of a leader, because many times I think we assume that everyone else has got the problem when it comes to opposition. And you know, it might only take a little adjustment. I know of churches and situations and pastors where there just seems to be trouble after trouble and crisis after crisis and problem after problem. And it's always demons or the devil or the people or, you know, the first question to always ask ourselves is why? Because maybe it's just a little adjustment to me that could cause a whole lot of pain to leave my life. Sometimes it's just the little things. You know, I was one in my 40s. Well, one day I heard someone talking about the toilet roll. And they were talking about the way you put the toilet roll on the holder. And if you put it on this way, then when you go to get the paper, it's away from the wall. And when you do it the other way, it's closer to the wall. Well, many of you, I'm sure, knew that. That had never crossed my mind. Now I always notice when people put it on the wrong way because you're hitting the wall trying to get the piece of paper. It had never crossed my mind. And I'm telling you this for one reason. Whoever puts the loo paper up and upstairs there constantly puts it the wrong way. So I have to turn it round again. But in that, it's just one of those silly little things that I'd never thought of. Now I notice it every single time. Be honest, who has never thought of that before? I have taught you a life lesson today. It is so much easier if the roll goes this way than if it goes that way. But it's just one of those little things that, you know, you may not be aware of, but it'll change your life. You know, I've got really crooked teeth, like two front teeth there, and on this side they're very, very, very crooked. And so bad that in photos it used to look like I had no tooth. So it just looked like a black hole. And when I started doing more TV and becoming more public, I decided I'd go and ask a dentist whether there was something he could do about it. And I was thinking he'd have to, you know, maybe trim them down and put some sort of caps on them. He's like, oh, yeah, I can fix that. I reckon 30 minutes. And I walked out with, these two teeth and the two at the bottom with false fronts on them, which I've been walking around with now for probably 10 years, I guess. But it took, I doubt if it took him 45 minutes. And yet no dentist had ever told me that that could happen. No dentist had ever suggested to me. They must have looked at me. They must have realised there's an issue here. No dentist ever told me that that could happen. But it's just a little thing, but in many ways a life-changing thing. And if you face opposition, don't just assume it's everybody else's fault. First question is always ask yourself, what do I need to adjust? Because it might only be a little adjustment in your personality, a little something to change about the way you relate to people, communicate with people, that can be absolutely transforming in terms of your relationships. But having said that, the psalmist says, Lord, how they increase who trouble me. And it is true that in leadership, everything starts to increase. You know, the further people are pushing you out in front or the more people who are following you, your influence increases, your world gets bigger. Our world over the years, by God's grace, has got bigger. I remember a time when I used to sort of hear about some of the great ministries around the world, but they're absolute strangers, people I admire, but they're absolute strangers. And now we in our church have so many connections with great people in so many places around the world, and many of those great ministries would be aware of us and aware of what we do. Not necessarily all, but many. Our world has become bigger. And as your life grows, everything increases. Your respect. If you're a leader and you're keeping your course, respect increases. In Psalm 112, I love that psalm. I love that character in Psalm 112 who features in the book, How to Live a Blessed Life. And it says about him in verse 9, it says that his horn is exalted with honor. His horn is his influence. So it's actually saying his influence is elevated. His influence is being elevated with what? With honor. So in other words, there's an increase of respect and an increase of influence. His horn is exalted with honor. In other words, his honor or his respect is growing, and his horn or his influence is growing. That's the awesome thing about serving God. Life grows, everything increases. It's fantastic. I believe it's the will of God for your respect, for your credibility to increase and to grow. And that's what life does. If you keep the course of leadership, honor grows, increases. The Bible says that an elder who leads well is worthy of double honor. It literally means double pay, by the way. Double pay. He's worth it. Doesn't mean he'll get it. He's just worth it. Isn't that true? Everything increases, but also opposition increases. A lot of people, you know, they want what they perceive comes with increase, but they only want the good part. So sometimes when people are part of a smaller church, they want to have a bigger church, but I sometimes wonder, do they really? Or do they only want the good part? Or do they want everything that comes with more responsibility? Everything that comes with more influence, everything that comes with, because the reality is opposition grows too. And that's how it is here for David. He's gone from being a farm boy to being king. And as his life has increased, so has the opposition increased. If you are gaining territory, somebody is losing territory. And we know who is losing territory when the church is gaining territory. It's the devil. And if the devil is losing territory, obviously, there's going to be a fight. He's going to kick and scream a little bit. I don't think he likes. And of course, the further your life goes, the more it challenges other people, the more other people actually, bottom line, want what you have. That they want it and they don't have it, so they get angry that you do. So the first thing you do is check why. What is it about me? But the other thing you need to realize is with increased influence, increased respect, increased opportunity, and so on, with all of that comes increased opposition. The guy I talked about in Psalm 112, it says his horn will be exalted with honor. The very next verse, it says, the wicked will gnash their teeth and grieve. I mean, he's a good guy. The Bible says he deals graciously and he lends and he helps people and he's a good guy. And yet the wicked gnash their teeth and grieve. Something about him is making people angry. I hope in a way there is something about you that makes people angry in a positive sense. I hope there is something about your life that even challenges what's inside other people. Let's pray that we are those sorts of people. And I definitely pray that our church is enough on the forefront for it to bother some people. Do you? Yeah. I do. But it's not the best part of increase. There's other parts of increase that I enjoy far more. But there's a cost. Sometimes our kids have paid the price at school. They get the flack at school. And as everything else increases, that increases as well. It kind of just goes along with it. But not only in Psalm 112 does it say the wicked will sin and be grieved, but it also says the desire of the wicked shall perish. In other words, shall come to nothing. Can anyone say praise God for that? All right, well, opposition was increasing for David. He says, many are they who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But then he says this, I love this. He says, but you, O Lord, are number one, a shield for me. Number two, you're my glory. And number three, you're the one who lifts up my head. And I love that because I think that one of the things that opposition can do, if you're facing opposition in any area of your life, one of the things it can do is get you distracted. Basically get your eye off the vision, get you distracted, get you putting out fires or watching your back. And here, the psalmist David says, Lord, you are a shield to me. And it literally is, you are a shield all around me. You surround me. The devil's the author of confusion. And often when opposition or attack comes, he doesn't just hit you from one side. He hits you from every side. You watch how sometimes a person starts going through it in one area of their life, and it seems like all of a sudden they're being hit from every single angle. I watch some of my minister friends, some of my pastor friends, even this year. We all know the battle of Stephen, Mary, and Penny have been through in their family, losing their son. But you know, that's not the only challenge. It's sort of like stuff came from every side at them, all at the same time. And that's because it's hard to know which way to fight if it's coming from every direction. And that's why I think it's a mistake for leaders to worry too much about your back. God has got our back. And we can take a whole lot of time. Even in church life, what we have to do is keep our eye on vision. And if the devil can distract you from vision, he will. Sometimes people go from crisis to crisis. Some people's, their whole leadership style seems to be always going to seem to have one crisis. Do you know, there are as many potential crises in every ministry. It's just some people's, they basically are just focusing on vision. They are not so busy watching who's saying what and what's happening and who's speaking behind their back that they start getting distracted by it. Don't get distracted by who's saying what such and such from the other department said about you. Don't worry about your back. If God wanted us to worry about our back, he would have made us with rear vision mirrors. We should watch each other's backs. You watch out for mine and I'll watch out for yours. I'm so excited about the potential of this new Live, Love, Lead small group study. It's my prayer that this resource will enable you to be all that God has called you to be. Whether you choose to do it with a friend or an entire classroom of people, I believe that the teachings, the personal stories will radically impact you and your Christian walk. Let's watch each other's backs. But let's not spend too much time getting distracted by what's happening behind us, what people are saying about us, whether it's for us as a church. I'm not aware at the moment, by the way, of any big deal opposition or anything like that, but just as a life principle. You can get so caught up, even in families. Oh, did you hear what such and such? And you get on the phone, remember your brother and your sister, and did you hear what auntie such and such? And you know, all that stuff, it gets you just distracted in life. I had to make a choice in my family a few years ago. I'm just not going there. Basically, I'm going this way. You know, it was a bit of a liberating choice because now even when some conversations start, amongst brothers and sisters, whatever, from my end, Bobby's end, there's often just a pause. And it's an obvious pause. And it's amazing how the conversation just goes on. You don't get drawn in. And in life, I think it's a really important thing that you don't get distracted. Vision is in front of you. It's not behind you. It's in front of you. And so don't even be worried too much about what they're saying, who said it, why they said it. You don't even be worrying about it too much. Just stay focused, because it's a strategy of the enemy. Second thing that David described God as, first, he's my shield. Shield all around me. In verse 6, he said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. Listen, all around. So the 10,000s that were against him were all around him. But the scripture describes the Lord as being our rear guard. God's got your back covered. Tell the person next to you, God has got your back covered. And as a church, God has got our back covered. People say, what do they say? Let them say. That's what my father used to say. People say, what do they say? Let them say. In other words, don't worry about it. Just keep your eye on the vision. If you're going to be a leader, be a bigger person than who's saying what and who and where. And especially, you know, those of you with extension services, don't get caught up putting out too many fires. There are some you can't avoid, but mostly they're distractions. And you just stay focused on the vision. And those who are with you will come with you, and those who are not will drop along the wayside, but just don't get distracted. Amen. He is our shield all around. If I spent all my time worrying about my back, believe me, I'd spend a lot of my time trying to put out fires and who said and what do they say. And as your life grows, there's more of them saying it. But I'll tell you what, if there are many who are increasing, who trouble you, believe me, that many will be exceeded a multitude of times over with the people who love you and are helping you and blessing you and praying for you, standing with you. So just keep your eye on the right many, because I believe that many is a tiny many compared with the many who are committed completely to who you are and what you do. Second thing he said is, my glory. My glory. It kind of means like weight. God gives me weight. Don't worry too much in life if you're not getting the glory. Maybe you don't get all the glory you deserve, but God is our glory. God is our glory. It's like weight, it's like clout. It may include respect, it may include credibility, it may be your success. But the reason we give God the glory is it's His. To God be the glory, and He is our glory. So in other words, I don't take His glory for myself, but God's got a way of shining through me, and He is my glory. I found an awesome scripture. Some of you might have already seen it, but it's in Isaiah 60, verse 19. And it's actually talking about Jerusalem. And it says, the sun will no longer be your light and the moon will no longer be your brightness. It says, listen to it, your God, your glory. I love that. Your God, your glory. What it's actually saying is your brightness isn't going to come from the sun. It's not going to come from the moon, but your God is your glory. That's where your brightness is going to come from. And for us, it's not sort of what other people are saying or whether people love, appreciate and have given you credit for what you've done or even understand or even notice, you know, how blessed you are or how good you are. It's not a matter of how many people told you how great the message was. Most of them are lying anyway. No, they're not. No, they're not. But in our environment, you only have levels of good when it comes to messages. No one ever goes, gee, that was a bad message, Brian. You just listen carefully to good to great. You know, good is not very good. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if I try and get my esteem or my brightness from what other people are, basically, your God, your glory. That's where you get your esteem. That's where you get your credibility. That's where you get your respect. And we can trust God with that. The reality is we can trust God. When He gives our life, He gives it a weightiness. He gives it a clout, if you like. He gives it a brightness that you don't have to strive for. You don't have to work for. You don't have to push for. You don't have to try to earn. You just have to be. And you let God be your glory. Your God, your glory. Awesome. Some people say, no guts, no glory. But I reckon it's no God, no glory. You know, no God, no glory. Because the reality is that's where it comes from. And in teams, you don't always get the glory. That English rugby team have gone home, and this Johnny Wilkinson's going home a hero. But I'll tell you one thing about him too. As everything else has increased, his influence and his fame, so has his opposition. They weren't calling them boring because they weren't any good. Think about that. Who would care how boring they were if everyone was beating them? With the increase in influence and opportunity and wealth and all the things that are going to grow in his life comes some increased opposition. But the point is this. He's out there, he's in sort of most glamorous role in a rugby team, generally, is the position he plays. But it's also the most glaring. So if you do bad, it's going to be noticed the most as well. But there's people in what they call the engine room, the scrum, in a game of rugby. Man, I tell you, they work their guts out. They, you know, those props, they bind in there. They don't get that chance to shine like Johnny Wilkinson. Some of them would be at least equally responsible for England taking home the World Cup. At least they're equal, but they've just not got that. But at the end of the day, I don't think that those guys go off the field saying, well, did you notice me? Did anyone even notice what I did? It's all Johnny Wilkinson, Johnny Wilkinson, Johnny Wilkinson. What about me? You're not going to build a team that way. And it's just true. Like, basically, let's not try to, because it's the same thing. If you feel unappreciated or, you know, you're not getting the credit you deserve, just in the same way as it's a distraction to look back, it's a distraction to start looking in or start looking around and start looking for what we have to do is understand my God, my glory. He's where my brightness comes from, where my credibility, where my strength, where my recognition, my God, my glory. And when we say to God be the glory, it's actually a very powerful thing to say because in actual fact, whatever we have, whatever blessing, whatever opportunity, at the end of the day, it's his. And let's give it him, but he gives us the honor and the privilege of living lives where basically he lets that glory shine through us. But let's recognize it from whose it is and from whence it comes in Jesus' name. Number three, third thing, he said to the Lord, you're the lifter of my head. Because again, as opposition increases, in the same way as it's a distraction to look back or it's a distraction to, you know, start looking in or start looking around rather than just keep looking at him and looking forwards. It's also a distraction. And the enemy would love to, through discouragement, basically, to get your head to hang down. Excuse all the rugby analogies, but there's no doubt watching the All Blacks when it was obvious that Australia were going to beat them in the semi-final of the World Cup, it was notable. Their heads started to hang down. And you could see they were defeated, they were beaten. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants you with your head down, discouraged. My glory and the lifter of my head. And the lifter of my head. One of the things you must be able to do as leaders, as staff members, as people who are leading by example, you've got to have that capacity to get yourself up. Do you know some people, they minister on a weekend, they spend Monday in manic depression. And not just a few, many people. They can't get themselves back up. It's not a matter of putting on a show or being surfacey. The reality is, I believe that with God's help and through his resource, he's the lifter of our head. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life. If I'm going to be a leader and I need to preach on Sunday, there's room for me to be a little bit transparent, but I can't walk in there with my head hanging down. I have to believe God to be the lifter of my head. I have to go in there and encourage and inspire and build faith. And so I have to believe God to be the lifter of my head. And David describes the Lord as the lifter of his head. We sing a song, hold your head up high. And I believe it's really important that no matter what comes at your life, that you've got that capacity to tap into that part of God that will lift up your head and keep, because again, otherwise you lose sight of the vision, you lose the plot. If you let your head hang down, things may work against us, but the Bible is full of encouragement. David says here about the Lord, he says in verse 4, you hear me. He says, Lord, you heard me. In verse 5, he says, the Lord sustains me. He goes on in verse 7 and says, God, you fight for us. You have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. I reckon that he probably wanted a vision of that, wanted to see their cheekbones actually cave in and actually see the teeth crumble. But he's basically saying, God, you fight for me. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Lord, you rescue me. You're my savior, you're my salvation, you rescue me. And verse 8, your blessing is upon your people. You bless me. You hear me, you sustain me, you fight for me, you rescue me, you bless me. No wonder he's able to say, I lay down, I slept, I woke up. I lay down, I slept, I woke up. I did too last night. I lay down, I slept, and I woke up at 4:20 a.m. And that was it. What an awesome thing to know that we've got a God who fights for us. Isn't it a cool thing? I've got no particular fights right now. It's pretty calm going into Christmas. Usually by this time of the year, there's all sorts of things trying to rain against me, but I'm believing, touch wood. But I do know one thing. I do know that there's been times over the years when the enemy's tried to distract me by what's going on, you know, watching my back, or try to distract me by starting to look around, or try to distract me from vision by just getting me to hang my head down. And the biggest thing to know is that as leaders, we've got a God who is our shield, our glory, and the lifter of our head. So isn't that good news? I reckon that's great news in Jesus' name. Amen. Just think for one moment. Just any life situation, small, big, family, kids at school, whatever, where maybe you just need to remind yourself that God's got your back covered. And just literally remind yourself, basically speak it to yourself. God's got my back covered. If you can't think of any, you're probably not doing much. God's got your back covered. And then maybe think of if there's another area where you just need to remind yourself, my God, my glory. It's God who's going to shine through me. It's God who's going to use me. It's God that gives me weight and clout and credibility. I don't have to fight for it and push for it or try to prove anything, try to stoke my ego up. My God, my glory. And then remind yourself in that third area as well, the lifter of my head. Not only my glory, but the lifter of my head. Anything that you're facing right now that would have you basically just hang your head. I believe it's important in life that we can stand with our head held high in Jesus' name and know how to rely on God as our source and as the lifter of my head. Amen. Hold your head up high. Look them in the eye. Look them in the eye, whoever them are. They may be real, they may be spiritual, but whoever them are, look them in the eye and know, my God, my glory.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Houston Leadership Podcast. For more great content and resource from Brian, check out briancehouston.com.